Hi, I'm Chris Harrison. And no, I'm not The Bachelor. The journey begins again.
What a wild thing to think after 18 years that this is what it's come to.
You, Chris Harrison, come at me.
Welcome back.
Welcome.
It is finally over.
Bum, 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 bum.
It's over. We know how it ends. There have been so many theories and conspiracies and Reddit threads and quippings about it being a producer and Kelly supposedly being pregnant to where I was like, you guys, it's getting a little crazy.
Wait, what?
Yeah,
I didn't hear about this.
Went batshit crazy with theories. Wow. One was that Kelly was pregnant before coming on the show, which is not true. Like, this is super alleged.
Okay.
And then Peter instead finding love with a producer instead. And I'm like, where you guys are just pulling this out of nowhere. But anyway, yeah. We know how it actually ends and we're going to talk about it. So before this week, there was a little holiday called the Women Tell All last week, which was basically just one big bachelorette audition for Kelsey, a failed one at that. Not much happened. The girls screamed at one another.
Tammy played the heel,
and then they brought out Rachel Lindsay to read some racist tweets. They never once used the word racism, but they had Rachel. They were like, well, we have this black woman. She'll weigh in on how racist these tweets are. It can only come from her.
Yeah.
And she goes along with it. And I'm like, Rachel, fuck.
Also, the camera kept panning to like to every single black girl.
It was like, Kiara, Shianne, Sydney, Natasha's cardboard cutout. Monique. She wasn't there. Christina, Yolanda, Freakily. Those of you who are PD Pablo fans, like, yo. Same. Anyway, so the finale, it was two nights, which you guys know we love. Not really. That crowd in Los Angeles is a great perpetuate of coronavirus at this moment. Like, how
possibly?
None of them have on masks or gloves or hand washing stations right in front of them. They should be constantly washing their hands throughout the whole live finale.
They just come down and spray everybody down.
Yeah, that'd be great. I would love to spray everybody down in a hazmat suit. Speaking of hazmat suit, Barb, we get so much Barb over the past two nights that I don't know if I'm going to be able to go to sleep without seeing her face. We'll get to it. It was intense.
Yeah. So let's start off with what.
Let's start off with what happened on night one.
Yeah.
So Hannah Ann comes in to meet Peter's parents, and she seems to impress them. So Peter's in a dilemma because he has two people who have his heart, and his dad is like, don't worry, it'll come. And I'm like, yeah, Dad, because you've been in this situation before. Barb really likes Hannah Ann.
Yes.
We find out it's for a few reasons. One, she is an angel on earth, an angel sent to earth. Supposedly, she reminds Miss Barb of her own self quite a lot and a few other things. It was strange. She feels like she's known Hannah her whole life. And Hannah's like, oh, wow, I played this very well. So we get back to the crowd after that. It was a short interaction, but meaningful for how the rest of the episode and finale play out. Still, again, I'm alarmed at how few masks are present. This is live, which means this is in the, what I wouldn't call the midst, because we're just now getting to the midst of coronavirus, but we're in the upper third of what's going to happen.
Oh, nothing's happened yet in the sense of like, it's if this thing is actually going to happen, then
yeah.
It hasn't even started yet.
That's what I mean. We aren't even halfway into it. And still people are not protecting themselves, but it's fine. Okay, so they should sell like glamorous respirators. I just thought of this, like with like bedazzled. There's supposed to
be something where it's like scarves.
Okay, that's cute. So
doesn't really work though.
No, oh, damn it. Maddie shows up to meet Peter's parents, and they hug for a long time. And Peter says he is so in love with her, and he will do whatever it takes to make this work. Maddie tells Peter that she is not doing well. She just continues to drag home her beration of him. She says she's hurt by Peter's actions. Like, even though he's the bachelor, I don't get it. Like,
yeah, I don't get it either, because like you, this is one of those things where once more we're going to reiterate, but like, you signed up for this.
This is a show. You didn't meet this man at Bible camp and try to change him. Like, you met him on a show that is like the opposite of what you're going for, and you're trying to change him and go against the rules of the show. So Madison berates Peter, and she's hurt by his actions, even though he's the bachelor, not her. And she admits that if he had proposed to her earlier, she would have said yes. But now that he followed the rules of the game, he is to be punished.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why so many people are standing Maddie for this. Like, I don't get it. Like, what is...
Because they're not thinking about the situation. They're just like being like, yeah, girl power. And it's just like,
this isn't the room for girl power. You signed up for The Bachelor. I can't think of anything less girl power than that shit. Like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
The fuck? Anyway, so he's like, you know what? I'm not mad at you for being honest, but you gave me an ultimatum out of nowhere. And she's acting like he's only in a relationship with her. Like, she's trying to take this as seriously as she possibly can and express the quote-unquote expectations that she has, but it's coming off as insanity.
Yeah, she has some sort of disillusioned aspect of reality.
Yeah, it's definitely distorted. And like, girl, what? I mean, if she wants to have those expectations for a man she meets in the church in real life, we get that, but that's not Peter. It's just not. So he reminds her that he has been in her shoes. They were like, dude, you joined a polygamous game show. Like, what did you expect?
Yep.
So we get back from commercial. Peter and Maddie get nowhere in their conversation because she's almost as bad as Victoria F. in terms of communication. Like, almost, because she doesn't really get anywhere, but she tries. And you just look at her like, you still didn't answer the whole fucking question. Like, what are you talking about?
In basketball terms, she's traveling.
three points for that one. So, yeah, she says that love isn't the issue here. All the other crap, quote unquote, is. He asks her if they can get through it together, and she does not know how to. So they eventually share a moment and go into the house. So Maddie apparently either had on like very waterproof makeup on her spider lashes, or mm-hmm. she did not cry at all, because she comes in there like perfectly fine. Maddie lets both of Peter's parents know that she has already given their son an ultimatum, and she's holding what he did as part of the show against him. It's visibly awkward for everyone, including Jack, who is 25 apparently.
Is that his little brother?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
His little brother's a pilot, and his dad's a pilot, and his mom was a flight attendant, and his mom was like Miss Illinois or something.
The
like
person's supposed to be 25?
Yeah.
I thought he was like in like just started college.
I
or
thought
something.
He was like 18. So
yeah.
Barb has not only been a pageant girl, she's been a flight attendant. And we will get to Barb. So Roll Tide should be the title of this episode, because there's a lot of Alabama references.
Yeah, Alabama.
On. I just realized, like, all these girls in Peter's life have been from there. Holy shit. Hannah B, Hannah Ann, friggin' all, Hannah A through Z,
mm-hmm.
friggin' Maddie. Barb comes in thick.
Roll Tide.
Saying that she respects Maddie for her values, but the fact that she told Peter that if he pursued his relationships with other women in the fantasy suite, she would hold it against him. That upset Barb. So Barb goes after this girl's neck, letting her know that Peter has a social life. He drinks, he parties, and he fucks. And nothing's going to stop him from that. So Barbara went in hard, like hard. So she cries after Maddie leaves, and we get like, get ready for this, y'all. She's not there for you. She's not there for you, but I have to tell you something. I said a prayer last night. Please guide Peter today and guide Madison to see where they're at. You have a gem waiting for you who is madly head over heels in love with you. I think that God has answered my prayers and put the right person in your path. She calls Maddie a sweet girl, but Hannah is the angel on earth. Yeah. I'm like, whoa, that was intense.
Yeah.
Oh, so we get back to the audience. Chris asks them how many people agreed with Barb throwing her to the slaughter.
Also, this is like the first time she just met her.
It is. Yeah. Well, she met Maddie before at the vow renewal, but
I'm talking about Hannah Ann.
Hannah Ann. Yeah. It is the first time. And it's like already like a really big deal.
She's in love with her.
Because she reminds her of herself, babe.
Yeah.
She needs to have someone who she can control as her daughter-in-law.
No, she could do some get-out shit and, like, put her brain inside Hannah Ann's.
And just relive her life as a 23-year-old baby princess.
Yeah.
That's exactly... Give your soul to me! So, Peter sits down with his family, and Peter's dad is asking him if this choice is worth it. He says, this reminds me very much of you last season with Hannah B. Unfortunately, she went and picked the wrong person. And now you have the perfect girl right in front of you, and you're going to miss that, bud. By the way, I wasn't going to start counting the amount of times they say bud until this was like the 7th fucking one. So even his brother is like, bud, you're crazy. And then Barb drops the famous... bring her home to us, which starts here. Hannah Ann.
Bud. No.
Bud. No. Hannah Ann loves you with all of her heart. Don't let her go. Don't let her go. Bring her home. Bring her home to us. We will welcome her with open arms. We will welcome her with all of the love in the world. We will share the blood of the lamb with her. No, I'm just kidding. That was improvised. So, she's a dream come true. And God has placed her here for you. That's what love stories are made out of. Oh.
Mm-hmm.
So, on a scale of 1 to not getting an Oscar, I don't even know how to rate this. Like, I was sitting at work.
On a scale of 1 to not getting an Oscar?
I don't know what scale that is.
Is it 0 to 1?
Basically. Okay, no, it was wild.
No, it was. It was like, are you kidding me? Because, I mean, actually, what happens next is pretty fucking hilarious.
Oh, yeah. So Peter responds with none other than these 5 words. You got to stop doing this. This lets me know that this has been a thing in Peter's life since he was a child. And his only way to respond to it is becoming a people pleaser. All of it's becoming so clear to me now.
Yeah. But what's even like even more hilarious is he says, Mom, you got to stop. You can't keep doing this. Mom, you got to stop. She's like, what? And she goes, she's what? Like, what? I'm crying.
I have emotions. And I just was expressing them. Yeah. And he's like, you can't be doing this. This is a lot, Mom. Like, this is insane right now. You always do this. And I'm like, holy Barb.
Yeah, it was pretty hilarious.
Barb, you ruined so many of this man's relationships. You know what I bet? Like, he probably didn't bring any girls home for a while because she would just, like, either shed her approval or disapproval, like, too much. And he felt like he would have to go along with it to make her happy. Peter.
Because no woman is good enough for her son.
I think he's the first bachelor to do The Bachelor while living at home with his parents.
Maybe? I don't know. I mean, I don't know much
history. I think... I could be wrong. If I'm wrong, somebody let me know, but that has a lot to do with this. Like, here's the thing. If you live at home with your parents, that's literally fine. But if you haven't had a chance to not live with them, you don't know who you are without a constant influence, constant watching eye, and the ability to fail. You don't know who the fuck you are. So for him to think this experience would turn out in maybe an ideal way, because we're going to get to that, is not realistic. He doesn't have the background. Like, he acts so strongly on his parents' emotions. It's too much. I understand wanting to make your parents happy, but when you don't break those ties, you don't know how to make yourself happy too, without, you know, not feeling bad if they're not happy all the time, because they're not going to be happy with all of your choices. They just are. They're looking out for you.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's a problem. It's really problematic. And
it's the mother's shroud.
It's a big shroud. It's like too much mothering. She has two sons too. So it's like, you would think, I can get it with an only child, because, you know, some parents can't help it. We got two kids in their mid to late 20s. Like, it's fine.
Apparently.
So now we learned why Peter...
The younger brother was like 18.
I thought he was a baby.
Or like 19. It was like he just started college or something.
Oh my God. I don't even want to know how many followers he has now by proxy to Peter. It's probably absurd. So now we learn why Peter is so vulnerable to crying and theatrics. If we had seen this episode first before all the other ones, I could have made it through with my sanity. But no, now it's clear why he's put up with all this shit.
Mm-hmm.
It's, guys, I actually feel like a weight has been lifted, because now I'm like, not like, what is wrong with him? I get it. So Barb sees herself very strongly in Hannah Ann, but not in Maddie, even though she became hella religious all of a sudden after Maddie left. This is great television.
Yeah.
So Peter then crouches very pensively on a rock, which I thought was so weird. Chris Harrison warns us that we are not prepared for what happens next, so brace yourselves. Peter and Maddie go on a helicopter ride to a sacred rock. And Peter's like, who goes and takes a helicopter ride to Uluru Rock? And I'm like, literally everyone who paid for the tourism package. There's a whole freaking paved brand new runway with air traffic control just for flying to this rock. A lot of people do this. There's probably people going to do it.
It's 15- like sacred rock aerial tours.
Yeah. It's got like this makeshift sign. It's like sacred at the top of the thing.
Yeah.
And people go in like 15 minute segments to go sit on it. Yeah, I just thought he's so oblivious. So we get back to the rock and they highlight the fact that Maddie does not drink. I think the producers edge this in here to see if Peter can really, really come to terms with how different his life is going to be if he picks her. Like, this is going to,
yep,
this is going to the no-kill shelter. You have two cute puppies, right? You pick the one that ignores you, comes to you sometimes, but mostly ignores you and, like, shits on the floor, over the one that's really sweet and is loyal to you. That's what's happening here. So Maddie repeats one of the most famous lines from any Bachelor season. And I mean famous in the way that the one of the top two girls will always say it to the Bachelor. And it's usually the one who's unsure about him, but he's sure about her. So she says, I want you to get what you came here for. And then the Bachelor will be like, why don't you think that's you? Which happened in this case. It happens literally every Bachelor season. And then they go after the person who gives them more of a headache than the person who's been there for them the whole time. Do you know what? I don't
think... Once more, this is the first time I've seen this for, you know, The Bachelor, that is.
Yeah.
I mean, we saw something similar to this in The Bachelorette.
This seems, and I don't want to say all men do this, because there's no possible way that all men do this. Like, that's even stupid to think. But why do some of them do it? Like, it's kind of becoming obvious that it's a type of person, specifically dude, who goes on this show that really wants the struggle, even after going through all of this and narrowing down all these great people and still fucking it up at the end. Like, what is it about this disparaging success rate of 11% compared to 30% of the Bachelorette seasons?
Well, as a guy, all I can say is, like, I'm guessing he might be one of those type of guys. It's like, you know what? She would be better for me by changing me in the long run, because I need somebody to change me to be a better person.
You guys heard it here first. That was very expert analysis that I could not have provided, because so, it's fucking right.
I think that's what he's doing, and that's a stupid move to do.
Thank you. Thank you for your help. So
it's only a theory, though.
But no, I mean, I wouldn't have even, you like blew my mind with that. I was like, what? Oh my God, you're right. Like, I could see him being like, yeah, I could go to church every Sunday and I can grill for the youth ministry and I can give up drinking and start wearing my pants up to my belly. I could start dressing like her dad and, you know, I could be her dad. Like, he's just thinking that that's the path his life needs to go down. And I'm like, or, you know, you could go get wasted in Cancun. I don't know what you want to freaking do, but I know it's that other routine I listed first. That's for Luke P. That ain't for Peter W. So just saying. So she's starting to see how different everything is, and she wouldn't want either of them to have to change to be the right person for one another, even though that's literally what she told him she wanted him to do, was to abandon this experience and just leave with her. Oh, girl, she doesn't even know what she wants. So she leaves. Peter walks her to the helicopter. No, just kidding. He walks her to a car. It's almost like his mom was right, though.
Yeah, I mean, she kind of told it how it was, but at the same time, she delivered it in a terrible way, which made him go, you know what? I should do the exact opposite of what my mom wants me to do.
Yeah.
Because, you know what? I can't keep listening to her. And this time, like, she was right.
Yeah, she was right. And this was Peter's one chance to be like, I'm my own person. It's like he brought Alea back because he felt pressured to. Now he's, I don't know, like, from Barb's perspective, she was like, you're not going to walk all over my son, okay? He lives here with me.
He lives under my roof.
He lives under my roof in my room. And I do his laundry, and he's 28 years old. So Maddie rides away, and Peter is left in the desert as the temperature quickly drops, and he has no jacket.
Or hat.
Or hat. Of course not, no. And then, so Peter goes on his date with Hannah, and they play with some Joey's, some cute baby kangaroos. I would have liked this date. I would have been like freaking out. This and penguins. I want to hang out with penguins one day. So they snuggle on a blanket surrounded by kangaroos, and Peter just gives off these weird vibes to Hannah. She's like mad suspicious. They meet up for the evening portion, and Hannah is the one to lay all her feelings on the line. She lets him know that she would rather him not do anything than to choose her when he does not mean it. So Peter opens up to her by letting her know that this is the hardest week of his life. Hannah tells Peter she does not want to hear at this point that his heart is being pulled in two directions. She says it's hard giving and not getting anything in return. And they end up crying as they say goodbye, and it gets nowhere. Okay, so Chris comes back with another, probably the 49th time he said this. This is one of the most dramatic seasons we've ever seen. But yeah, like so far, yeah.
Yeah. and probably one of the stupidest, even though this is one of the first ones I've been seeing.
Except for Jake and Vienna, which I will have to show you that YouTube video. It's like 3 minutes, but it's... That was the first time the show got hella trashy. Mm-hmm. And I was like, we need more of this. This is great. So Chris is just relishing in the fact that the season has not been spoiled yet, but at the detriment to all of these characters. That's it for night one.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for joining us. Night two is next.
So sit tight.